Hey, everybody. It's the Charlie Kirk Show. Darren Beatty is with us. Talks about the Tucker Carlson. Seems like to be a termination, a firing, departure, that's for sure. Also, January 6th news. Don Jr. joins us to talk about a new book, very exciting book, and also reacting to the Tucker news. Email us, freedom@charliekirk.com, and support our program at charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. Darren, welcome. Revolver.news. Check out Darren. Darren, we're going to talk all about 60 Minutes, but I think this actually all ties together potentially. Darren, you've gone on Tucker's program multiple times to talk about Ray Epps and to talk about Revolver.news. Darren, I want to do this kind of monologue. I want to do this playing a couple clips with Chuck U. Schumer, which I think actually proves my point. But I do want to get your initial reaction, Darren, the significance of Tucker Carlson tonight. Obviously, Tucker's still alive and he'll do something, right? But Tucker Carlson tonight being over. What is your reaction?
Well, it's certainly a major blow. And of course, I have to assess how how candid I want to be in my reaction, because there's a lot of things to say. So I guess initially I'll just say that, look, Tucker Carlson was the only person on American mainstream television who was willing to step outside of the playpen. I understand that there are some exceptions, but for the most part, that's true. And I'm not saying he wasn't just willing to step out of his playpen relative to, the left or the right. He was willing to step outside of the playpen with respect to American media as such. He was the only person with the guts to challenge the story about Assad's chemical weapons attacks were being used as a pretext to basically launch the war that Hillary Clinton desperately wanted but never got because Donald Trump was elected. In so many areas, he was willing to touch the actual serious issues that nobody else would. Not the, oh, look at what AOC was doing or this or that. And even a lot of like the trans
political popcorn. He resisted even, political popcorn.
Yeah. Look, and you know, I think the trans stuff is ridiculous too, but it's kind of still in the playpen. Like everybody can talk about the trans stuff and be like, oh, how outrageous that is. Yes, it's outrageous. He's willing to go further. And one of the things that he was willing to touch, and he touched it early on at great risk to himself, was the January 6th stuff. He amplified Revolver News' reporting more than anyone else. And he was basically the only person on Fox who would dare to have me on. And I'm not the only case. There are other people who they wouldn't, you know, nobody would dare let them on any other Fox show. But Tucker would have them on to say things that you won't hear anywhere on American TV. So he was an anomaly. In many ways, he wasn't supposed to exist. He was a glitch in the system. Somebody saying the kinds of things that he says is not supposed to be on American primetime television.
Nope.
It's not supposed to happen. And I suppose for that reason, his time was limited to begin with.
This is a huge blow. I mean, again, Tucker will be stronger than ever. The narrative is now going to be harder for us to move. It just is. Fox News had grandfathered cable news contracts in 115 million homes. Tucker was pulling between 3 to 7 million people a night, upwards to 10 million if you count clips and social media rewatches and YouTube. That's 10 million people. That is Overton window moving stuff. Not to mention nearly every Republican lawmaker would watch Tucker Carlson at least once a night. Every Republican governor on and on and on and on.
Watched him and you go, look, he was a rare source of accountability.
That's exactly
right. You know? When some senator or congressman or governor was stepping out of line with some outrageous stuff,
he would get him right back.
One segment on Tucker, one example, a great example. So Ted Cruz, you know, he's not altogether bad. Sometimes he's bad. Sometimes he's good. He wasn't talking about the Ray Epps stuff. He wasn't talking about the January 6th stuff. It was just serendipity.
No, it was worse than that. He praised the police. Remember that? No, he praised. It was some sort of weird thing where he said, thank you guys for protecting us. He didn't say insurrection, but he said like a terror attack, right? He said something
right.
like that.
And, but he happened to be on Tucker right after me one night, and I was talking about Epps. And just as the segue, he was asked about Epps, and he was basically put on the spot and forced to address the Epps issue. And that's what ultimately elevated it even beyond sort of Tucker's sphere into the more kind of mainstream conservative realm. So there's so many different ways in which Tucker would put people on the spot, force them to kind of take a stance on something that otherwise they wouldn't by calling them out on his show. And he was a very important and extremely rare source of corrective motivation on the right. And I can't think of any other example of somebody with that kind of influence.
So I want to play a couple pieces of tape here. First is Chuck U. Schumer saying that Tucker Carlson needs to be censored. Remember this? This was only a couple months ago because of the January 6th stuff, Darren. This was the Senate Majority Leader calling for the outright censorship of a cable news channel. Play cut 19.
These lies continue tonight. Rupert Murdoch, who has admitted they were lies and said he regretted it, has a special obligation to stop Tucker Carlson from going on tonight now that he's seen how he has perverted and slimed the truth. And from letting them go on again and again and again. Not because their views deserve such opprobrium, but because our democracy depends on it.
If you think that the Tucker news isn't significant, why would the Senate Majority Leader be calling for the outright censorship? That's actually not the censorship clip. On the Senate floor, he called for the actual censorship of a cable news broadcast. Now, I want to get into the Ray Epps thing because I think there might be a wrinkle here, Darren, but I just want to remind our audience. People are saying, well, who's behind this? Who's behind this? Here's what I can guarantee you. The national security apparatus, the same national security regime that tried to take out Donald Trump, they are definitely celebrating this. Let me remind you what Chuck U. Schumer said. Cut 20.
Tell you, you take on the intelligence community, they have six ways from Sunday at getting back at you. So even for a practical, supposedly hard-nosed businessman, he's being really dumb to do this.
He was talking about Donald Trump taking on the intelligence community. Tucker took on the intelligence community quite often, and now he's out at Fox News. Darren, your reaction.
Yep. Well, again, he was a glitch in the system. You're not supposed to have somebody on, you know, primetime television, sort of the slop feed. You're not supposed to have someone talking about serious things that contravene the official narrative given to us by the national security establishment on a range of issues, including and especially January 6th. It really is amazing to see just how the regime will close ranks to defend their false, malicious narrative about January 6th in particular. They do not want to be challenged. They are furious that Tucker Carlson and Revolver News basically reshaped the national conversation on this such that even polls for Democrats reveal that most people have a sense that there was federal involvement in January 6th. This is a massive loss to the regime because they're riding so much. So much is riding on the lie about January 6th because it was supposed to be that major domestic insurrection event that they used to justify the transformation of our entire society into some kind of surveillance, politically weaponized surveillance type state. And they're still doing that to some degree. But the fact that their narrative on January 6th is questionable, it's not been legitimized to the broader public, that most people, especially on the right or conservatives, even centrists, don't buy it, that is a major loss to them. They're furious. They can't stand it, and they need to basically punish those involved. And that's why exactly they're, right. It looks like they're using Ray Epps. They're going after Tucker. I'm sure they're going after me. Epps has hired some, I think I spoke about it with you before. Epps has hired this lawyer from Perkins Coie who works for David Brock, probably one of the most notorious Democrat hatchet men. You know, when David Brock's goons are partnering up with Ray Epps, it's not going to look good.
So, Darren, fill us in on 60 Minutes' coverage of Revolver.News.
Well, it's amazing. I mean, the full story, we'll get it. You know, we don't have time for the full story. The short version is 60 Minutes did a segment on Ray Epps. You know, kind of bizarre that they decide to do this sympathetic piece on Ray Epps. They've joined the New York Times, Adam Kinzinger, and others in the sense that Ray Epps is the only January 6th participant that they display any sympathy to, and they go out of their way to make an entire segment on Epps. But the segment, which I watched last night, was really remarkable because the running theme was basically attacking so-called conspiracy sites mm-hmm. that dared to question the official narrative with Epps. They mentioned Revolver News like six times. Wow. They show me on Tucker Carlson there, and yet they interview Epps and they don't interview me. And one of their producers that I won't even bother naming because he's just kind of a bag carrier. He's just kind of happy to be there and he's not making the decisions. So I don't want to, you know, bring him too much heat. You know, he's too busy carrying bags anyway. But the bag carrier thought, okay, I'm going to set up an interview. Darren, would you be willing to do an interview? And I said, look, I know this is going to be a scam job. You have so many tools at your disposal. We've seen how they treat other people on the right, and they've got a lot of stuff. They can splice and dice. They've got B-roll. They can add context. It's all pre-recorded. They can do whatever they want. And if you make an especially effective point, they could just take it out of the segment.
That's right.
They have so many advantages. And yet, even with all of those advantages, they decided at the last minute that it would be too dangerous to interview me and give me an opportunity to defend my reporting, which was the underlying theme of their entire segment. And instead, they do a sympathetic portrayal of Ray Epps doing the sympathy tour saying, oh, all these people like Tucker and Revolver are making my life difficult. Epps, the guy caught on January 5th, telling people to go into the Capitol, the guy who was right there pre-positioned at the initial breach site, the guy whose behavior was so egregious, he's one of the first 20 listed on the FBI's most wanted list. This guy remains free. He wasn't even touched. And we're mm-hmm. supposed to have sympathy for him and not the grandmas rotting away in solitary confinement. Give me a break. Why? And they didn't ask him any of the simple questions you would ask him. Where did you get the idea to go into the Capitol? Why don't you think you're arrested? It was the ultimate softball. And again, it's bizarre. Why 60 Minutes, New York Times, defending Epps? Why is the Perkins Coie Democrat machine lawyer who works for David Brock coming to the defense of Epps? It doesn't make any sense.
And I think we have some tape here. Let me see. Yeah, let's do this one. Let's go to cut one, where all of a sudden they're defending Ray Epps and saying, yeah, he's just like a normal Trump supporter. You called these people insurrectionists and terrorists, and yet he's the exception.
Exactly.
Play cut one.
I think there were people on the hard right who were desperate for a scapegoat. They didn't want to say that their side did this. They didn't want to say that their president instigated this. They're just desperate to pin it on somebody else.
So was Ray Epps just some hapless Trump supporter who got caught up in some outrageous conspiracy?
He absolutely is a Trump supporter who got caught up in an outrageous conspiracy theory. They're putting all the weight of this conspiracy theory, all of it, on his shoulders.
Darren, your response.
I got it. Oh, man. I'm trying to keep my blood pressure down here.
One minute, but your response, yes.
Imagine having teeth like that and going on national television. And imagine the fact that they're willing to interview this overweight nothing guy, pluck him out of some third-ranked nothing think tank that everyone laughs at, to be the quote-unquote debunker of the theory. They get this guy, you know, out of Men's Warehouse, and they won't interview me to defend the reporting that's the major theme of their own thing. It just shows it's not an exercise in journalism. 60 Minutes are a team of janitors doing a mop-up job for the increasingly transparent lies surrounding January 6th that the regime demands us to believe, no matter how impossible it is.
Speech is a threat to these people. The fact that you have exposed this and you speak freely, they're very worried about it. Darren, we're with you 100%. Check out revolver.news. That's revolver.news. Thanks so much, Darren.
Thank you.
Breathe some life into your own backyard with fastgrowingtrees.com this spring. From shade to fresh fruit to privacy and natural beauty, let fastgrowingtrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. In the book Comfort Crisis that we covered last year that won my 2022 Book of the Year, author Michael Easter talks about having live plants can actually decrease depression, decrease anxiety, and increase serotonin, happiness, and dopamine. I love fast-growing trees because I have found having live trees around makes me happier and closer in touch with nature. With fast-growing trees, you get a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. You know everything will look great and fresh out of the box. Join over 1.5 million, can you believe it? Happy fast-growing tree customers. Go to fastgrowingtrees.com/Kirk to get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com/Kirk. That is fastgrowingtrees.com/Kirk. Don, your reaction. Huge media news day. First, Don Lemon is out. That's not as important. But Tucker Carlson out at Fox News. Your reaction.
I mean, I think it changes things permanently. That's one of the few voices in the Republican Party that would call out the nonsense from GOP senators, governors, and otherwise. An actual thought leader in conservatism. And, you know, the whole thing is it's actually mind blowing to me. And I guess and to everyone else, given what you've seen happen to Fox's market cap in the last few hours.
Yep.
So, $1 billion I hope whatever he does, he continues to be that voice for conservatism, because, again, he's one of the few people pushing those boundaries. One of the few people, actually speaking to independents and across the aisle and winning them over with facts, logic, and reason. I think he's probably, a once in a generation type talent.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And to see him go is mind boggling.
I don't know what they're thinking. The company is down $1 billion in market cap. We'll see if they recover. I have no idea. So Don, so many other topics I want to talk about. I think, by the way, I know you have a show on Rumble. I think Tucker would be great at Rumble. I think he'd be amazing. I think it'd be a great
100%, man. I'd love to see him there. I think, you know, we've seen sort of the mainstream media and everything that they're doing anyway. I think perhaps even a talent like his is wasted in those kind of areas. I'd love to see Tucker speak his mind. Not that he doesn't, but speak with even fewer restraints on a platform where he's not answering to, the Paul Ryans and the Karl Roves, and, doesn't have to get that call that he went out of line saying what we all know to be true. I mean, the old the conspiracy theory is, the new I told you so, in advance. And, he was one of the guys actually calling BS on all the stuff that was so obviously BS. Mm-hmm. We need that. And we can't lose that kind of talent on our side.
No, not at all. So, Don, I want to talk about the new book out and remind people it's number one on Amazon right now. It's a very special book called Letters to Trump. And you guys can get it on Amazon, also Winning Team Publishing. Don, tell us all about it. Very exciting stuff.
Yeah, listen, it was one of those things. I started a publishing company with some of our friends. As we've done one of your books, because what was happening in publishing was the same thing that's happened everywhere else, where you're censoring one side, you're muting the thought of conservatives. And so this was an interesting one. And going through some of my father's archives and just doing some organizing, we noticed all of these letters that, him and I guess his assistants had kept throughout the years from all of these people, just celebrities around the world, politicians, actors, so many of whom over the last few years have changed their tune about Donald Trump. And so we really just aggregated all of these notes into a book so people can understand exactly what's going on in the hypocrisy of the world. You come out as a conservative, you push for, America first values, and all of a sudden they're so against you. And yet that wasn't how they always felt. So it was really an awesome sort of trip down memory lane from so many of these people. Again, like people that we used to have dinner with that magically became, the staunch voices against Trump and yada, yada, yada. And it's just a lot of fun. I think people will really, really appreciate it. I was looking through the stuff and I said, oh, my God, we have to put this together just so people understand just how warped, you know, our society is. If you do anything even remotely conservative, I think people will really like it.
So tell us some of the examples. I mean, it's amazing because it shows it's also kind of it's a history book in some sense, right? Because you could see American history, the great icons, great figures that write these unbelievable letters to Trump. And it's funny, Don, people don't really write letters anymore, right? So this shows how...
It's a lost art. You see that. I mean, you know, I know my father's really good about that. You've seen that, frankly, in the last week with some of the you know, endorsements that he's received where people are like, well, you know, something really tragic happened in my family. Trump was the first guy, you know, by letter, by phone, by this. You know, he understands people. And so I think, you know, some of this back and forth with some of these people. I mean, you have people, you know, you have obviously, you know, John F. Kennedy Jr. The interesting one, Alec Baldwin, certainly one of the interesting spokespeople against Trump. You'd love to see what he actually said about Trump, you know, before politics were involved. Princess Diana. I mean, the list goes on and on. It's sort of amazing. And what was really cool is that, you know, he kept all of these things for all of these years. And again, had it not been for politics, it wouldn't be that interesting. But when you see sort of the visceral negative reaction against Trump, all of these people who literally in writing, either kissing his butt or praising him and all the things that he was doing, it's truly an example of, you know, perhaps the finest example of hypocrisy today. And God knows we've seen a lot of it in the last few years, Charlie.
What one or two letters stand out to you? I mean, without, you know, spoiling the whole book, which ones really pop?
Yeah, listen, obviously, you know, number one has to be Alec Baldwin, right? Because just the way it went from being like a sort of funny parody of Trump to just, you know, as vicious as it gets, everything there. And, you know, this guy who's been, you know, obviously, you know, flagrantly racist on camera, beating up paparazzi, calling his daughter a pig, all these things, you know, it still ends up being portrayed as this holier than thou character because he's knocking Donald Trump. But watching him, you know, send a very, you know, letters to Trump, literally, you know, kissing his butt and thanking him for his generosity and his kindness. And it's just amazing to see.
So it's an important book. Everyone should check it out. Letters to Trump, an inside look. It really is an American history book. It's selling very, very well. In fact, it's number one on Amazon right now. The book is Letters to Trump. I got a preview copy, and I've seen, I mean, it's just amazing. It's every major American icon, and it's clued, I mean, Oprah, all these people. We love you, Donald. You're so great. Like, thank you for everything.
Yeah, I mean, there's some of those big celebrities that came. We should run for office together on the ticket one day.
And oh, like, yeah?
That changed rapidly.
And,
but,
and you read these letters.
No, I think people will truly appreciate it.
Well, and also, I think for those people that, if you don't like Trump out there, and you're like, oh, you read this book, you get a really amazing picture of a full life. I mean, this is a guy in arts, entertainment, media, politics, sports. I mean, every, not just A-list, but like the triple A-list celebrities writing these long letters. I enjoyed our time at Mar-a-Lago and all this different sort of stuff. So I think it's important that people check it out. Very entertaining, and it makes a great, great gift and coffee table book, Letters to Trump. So Don, a lot happening here. Don Lemon out now is out at CNN. Let's get your reaction on that, Don. The Don Lemon.
I can't quite understand the Fox decision, and yet I totally understand the CNN decision, given just the lunacy of that. But who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe he's going to replace Tucker Carlson in the 8 o'clock hour on Fox, given the direction I've seen some of these things going. It you know, at least that one makes sense. The guy, you know, everything's racist, except for when he says things that are flagrantly racist, when he's a sexist, when he's a misogynist, when he's it's totally okay. Yep. You're not allowed to disagree with him because he checks, I guess, a couple of boxes in today's woke culture. And, you know, the fact that that doesn't fly at CNN is surprising a little bit. I guess that this has probably been a long time coming, or should have happened likely years ago. But at least they're getting this one right for someone who's just, you know, led the charge on the leftist lunacy and hypocrisy.
For someone who just only cares about attention, it's quite something that he's canned on the same day as Tucker Carlson. He's like, I can't even own this day as a victim. Like,
by the way, 100%. You know, he's actually pissed off at Tucker
100%.
Carlson.
100%. He's like, this is the day.
Because literally no one gives a crap that Don Lemon was fired. The market cap of CNN's parent company has probably gone nowhere south. They certainly hasn't lost, you know, $1 billion.
No, probably has gone up.
Nothing like that. And yes, he'll probably turn that somehow into a racist issue as well. Just give it time. That's how he's going to come out of this hole.
I think that's well said. So in closing here, Don, the 2024 race is continuing to heat up. Seems like DJT is, you know, more ahead in the polls than ever before. What is your take on how things are going? It seems like almost like the primary is over before it's even started.
Well, listen, you know, Charlie, yes, it feels that way. And it certainly feels that way when you get out amongst the people. I think the problem that you face with some of that is that, you know, the billionaire donor class is still very much wanting someone other than Trump because they want, you know, a president that, you know, asks how high when they say to jump. They want a president that has to take their calls. You know, you can be America first as long as you're not getting in the way of us making an extra half a cent on our widget. You know, so that's what's going to keep, you know, that primary alive. It's going to be a real fight because it's going to be, you know, like we saw, you know, last week with Ken Griffin, you know, who donated $500 million to Harvard with no restrictions. You know, this is supposed to be a leader in the conservative movement. He's funding the woke ideologies that are destroying our country without restrictions. You know, and those are going to be the guys that are going to be the primary funders of my father's opposition, whether it's DeSantis or otherwise. And again, it's because they want that power back. They want that control back of their politicians that they lost under the Trump era. They thought they could have it. They wanted it desperately. And when they didn't get it, and instead you saw policies that were designed to actually help real Americans, I understand that's shocking. That's shocking in American politics today, but we saw the results with our own eyes, whether it was real wage growth, whether it was energy independence, whether it was job opportunities, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, they kind of like that, but if it wasn't good for them and, you know, their ability to make an extra $1 billion themselves rather than, you know, putting food and allowing the hardworking Americans to live their American dream, you know, they don't want it that badly. So, you know, it feels like it should be over. You see the endorsements coming out of the Florida delegation, especially, you know, people who know, you know, the person that many would be considered the primary,
yep,
you know, competition, when, you know, the vast majority of the Florida delegation that knows this individual really well is like, yep, we're with Trump 100%. I think that tells you everything you need to know. But don't kid yourself. A few $100 million by the billionaire donor class, you know, spent on TV that you're seeing, you know, it can still make a difference. So I never consider it over until it's actually over.
Check out Don's show on Rumble. Also, reminder, Letters to Trump is the latest book, and it is terrific. I highly recommend it. Don, thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Charlie. Good talking to you.
Look, are you concerned about the American K-12 education system? Are you worried about what your children and your grandchildren are learning or honestly not learning in school? If you answer yes, my friends at Hillsdale College have a free resource for you. Hillsdale College understands the importance of education to the future of our country. They're now offering 10 free print copies of their recent issue of Imprimis. It's titled Education as a Battleground, written by Hillsdale College President Larry P. Arnn. The special issue provides a factual account of the issues in the ongoing battle over education, explaining why parents and teachers, not unelected bureaucrats or activists, should guide what our children are learning. With Hillsdale College, you can make a difference in your community by distributing these copies of Imprimis at your church, local business, or even in your doctor's office. Do not miss this opportunity to arm yourself with the facts. Claim your 10 free copies of Education as a Battleground by visiting charlie4hillsdale.com. That's charlie4hillsdale.com. I love Hillsdale College. I'm an enthusiastic promoter of them. So check it out right now at charlie4hillsdale.com. Let me read you a text from an unnamed host on Fox News that you would all know, but I'm not going to say his name. He sent me a text. Dude, nobody has any idea what is going on right now. It's a direct quote from somebody you would recognize. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. There needs to be a filling of this void. Media is changing as we know it, and that's a very positive thing. But we got to fill the void. Real America's Voice is so important, everybody. You guys got to download the Real America's Voice app. We're on Rav right now. You got to download our podcast. Support this channel. It's so important. Alternative media is ascendant. Regime media is collapsing in front of your eyes. Market caps are going under. You guys saw BuzzFeed last week. BuzzFeed News is gone. There's so many changes happening. It's happening at such a rapid pace. It's really something. And They targeted Tucker. They did everything they possibly could to get rid of him. He'll be fine. I don't know how Fox will be. We'll see. Got another text from an insider. Basically, this is a shock to the system. No one was expecting this. Total disarray. Okay, that's what we're hearing. That's what my sources are saying. Remember, and we played this with Darren Beatty, I just want to remind you, though, that Chuck Schumer said anybody that crosses the intel agencies, they have 6 ways from Sunday at getting back at you. Chuck Schumer said that. And Tucker Carlson was waging war on the intel agencies time and time again. Robert Kennedy Jr. has a theory. He says this. He says, Fox fires Tucker Carlson 5 days after he crosses the red line by acknowledging the TV networks pushing a deadly and ineffective vaccine to please their pharma advertisers. Carlson's breathtakingly courageous April 19th monologue broke TV's 2 biggest rules. Tucker told the truth about how greedy pharma advertisers controlled TV news network, and he lambasted newscasters for promoting jabs they knew were lethal and worthless. For many years, Tucker has had the nation's biggest audience, averaging 3.5 million, 10 times the size of CNN. Fox just demonstrated the terrifying power of Big Pharma. That is Robert F. Kennedy Jr., who just tweeted that out. We're seeing the landscape change. And, you know, I got a text message from one of the friends here. Charlie, they're coming for you next. They've already been coming for us. We know that. But you know what gives me comfort? First of all, my faith. Second of all, you guys, the audience. Now's the time to keep supporting the fighters, everybody. And you guys supporting this program, you guys praying for us, it means the world. Supporting our freedom fighters at Turning Point USA. Turning Point USA is by far the most attacked organization in America. That's only going to increase. We are on the razor's edge of totalitarianism, and they're taking off truth teller. They're taking out truth teller by truth teller by truth teller by truth teller. James O'Keefe. They try to take out Rudy Giuliani, try to take out Steve Bannon, try to take out Dinesh D'Souza. It's a pattern. I'm trying to see if I can read this on air. Oh, yeah. Glenn Greenwald said, the removal of Tucker means the elimination of the only real sustained dissent on U.S. militarism, the U.S. security state. Right now trending on Twitter, number one trend is Tucker. Number three is Newsmax. And then Rumble is up there somewhere. Happening across the board. Your thoughts are pretty focused here. Freedom@charliekirk.com. A lot of people, at least a couple hundred emails, I don't know how widespread this sentiment is, said they've deleted the Fox app, they've canceled their Fox Nation subscription, and they're no longer going to be watching Fox News. We'll see. I'm not encouraging that. I'm not telling you that's a good idea. I'm torn because I don't like some of their behavior recently. I'm torn for two reasons. They have been good to me in Turning Point USA, and they continue to be, so I appreciate that, and I'm grateful. But number two, I want the network in 120 million homes to be conservative. I want the network that's in 120 million homes to keep holding the line, and Tucker was doing that. And Jesse Waters, I think, does a great job. I think Judge Jeanine does a great job. I think Greg Gutfeld does a great job. I think Laura Ingraham does a great job. I think Brian Kilmeade does a great job. There are some really, really good people in that network and still, and I'm cheering for them. I'm going to read a tweet here. Well, Tucker's senior producer Justin Wells is out at Fox News. And according to Max Tanney, I think he writes for the Daily Beast, if I'm not mistaken, or Semaphore now. The lawyer for Abby Grossberg, a former producer who made allegations of sexism and harassment on Tucker's show, says they, quote, have no comment on Tucker and his executive producer's departure from Fox, other than that, quote, timing is a matter of physics, as such is undeniable. Not really sure what to make of that, to be honest. That's a strange way to word it. Remember they let Laura Trump go from Fox, Dan Bongino, and now Tucker Carlson. So we're searching for answers. This seems a little bit of a clue, a little bit of a nugget. Love Maria Bartiromo too. There's still some great people at Fox. The trajectory is not looking good, but I'm cheering. I'm cheering that Fox can regain its conservative roots. This is a shock. Shock to the system. We're all going to have to step up, including this program. God bless you guys. Email us freedom@charliekirk.com. Support Real America's Voice. Support the Salem News Channel and Radio Network. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.